I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're pleased to welcome Brian now. Brian, you put so much energy into games. I can't believe you actually want to do an interview, but thank you so much.
Only for you, Amy. I wouldn't do it for just anybody.
I appreciate that. Why don't we talk about the end of that game? As I said, I was listening to you because I was on my way into work, and so I caught the whole fourth quarter. Is it just me, or did it feel like all of the loose balls and all of those kind of 50-50 plays went the way of New Orleans?
Yeah, very accurate. They had three chances on one possession, and they hit all the big shots, too. Three three-pointers down the stretch after the Blazers had grabbed a one-point lead coming from 11 down in the third quarter to do so, and seemed to have all the momentum with about 3 minutes to play, but just couldn't make the key plays down the stretch. So I give the Pelicans credit. Through two games, they've done everything they wanted to in terms of taking Damian and CJ out of the Blazers' attack and daring other people to beat them, and they've gotten great games from Rajon Rondo. It's the playoff Rondo, as they always like to say, and you know, I've seen him throughout his career sometimes be disinterested in the situation he's in, but he's clearly engaged in this one, and so he's been terrific. And Drew Holiday tonight, playoff career high, and Anthony Davis, as usual, special self the first two games. So history tonight, unfortunately not in a good way. The Pelicans, for the first time in their history, win two road games to start a series, and the Blazers, for the first time in their history, lose two home games to start a series. So not quite the way the Blazers were hoping to be mentioned in terms of history.
I kept expecting that Damian Lillard would break out. I know he had the four-point play and was able to score a little bit later in the game. Obviously, they climbed back into it, even took the lead at one point. But as you mentioned, it's been a bit of a struggle for this incredible backcourt of the Blazers. What to you stands out about the way these two guys, CJ and Dame, have operated in the first two games?
Yeah, I think the Blazers have had the misfortune of going up against a rare team that actually has two very good perimeter defenders, and even some tonight we saw Etuan Moore, the small forward for the Pelicans, put on Damian as well. But Rajon Rondo and Drew Holiday, I think, take pride in their defense. Alvin Gentry has been really pushing Holiday as maybe the best two-way player in the game right now, especially with Kawhi Leonard not playing, and it's hard to say that he's wrong based on what's happened the first two games. So I think they've done a great job of making sure that if the Blazer guards are going to get their points, it's going to be hard-earned. And C.J. McCollum came back, had a decent scoring game, but still didn't shoot as well as he would have liked. And, yeah, Damian, you keep waiting for him to break out and
right.
just have a stretch of points and scoring like he normally can, and they just has not been able to do it through two games. And he was really disappointed afterwards tonight, and I think he feels he's letting his teammates down. So that's usually when you get the best out of him. We'll see if he can rebound, because obviously, the Blazers don't have much room for error now at this point in the series.
Mm. Anthony Davis, another double-double in this one, 22 points, 13 rebounds. You've seen him a bunch of different times during the season. In what ways are defenses somewhat effective against him?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, Terry Stotts, as he mentioned, it's tough to double-team him because he's got great vision and, you know, he's one of these guys that developed late, so he developed some great ball handling skills when he was a youngster. So he can very often take the ball the length of the floor if he really wanted to. And I think without DeMarcus Cousins, he doesn't have to share the load with any other front court player, essentially. So really, as more pressure's been put on him, maybe to carry things in terms of their front court, it seems like he's responded even better to that challenge. So he's been an MVP type player the latter part of the season. That's why the Pelicans stayed very much in the playoff chase, even when Cousins went down.
Right.
And again, they've got a healthy team, and right now just doing everything right. So the Blazers are going to have to find something that turns this series back in their favor. And at this point, I don't think they can even worry about winning two games in New Orleans. They're going to have to try to find a way to win game three just to get back in the series and make it competitive again.
Brian Wheeler of the Portland Trailblazers Radio Network with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I had to laugh. I didn't just listen to the fourth quarter. I also caught some of the first half. And it was almost like you were egging on Alvin Gentry to call a timeout. He's not going to call a timeout. He's just not going to call a timeout. Just, I don't. know. I don't know if that's something that you've seen before, but yeah, he just was defying logic and refusing to use those timeouts.
Yeah, you know, it's something that seems to happen every time you get into a playoff series. Is you have to try to develop a healthy kind of dislike for the other team, and I really have nothing against Alvin Gentry, although he's maybe going to be in a position to beat the Blazers for the second time as a head coach, and he hasn't had a ton of playoff success, but he beat them once when he was in Phoenix, and trying to do it again now that he's with New Orleans. But you know, that's something Phil Jackson used to do. He would kind of try to not on the road give the home crowd, you know, the satisfaction of being kind of forced into one of those hot timeouts. Whereas a guy like Craig Popovich and Rick Carlisle, I think they sometimes call conservative timeouts. They try to, you know, call a timeout before a run gets going. But yeah, tonight, I mean, pretty odd to get through the entire first quarter. The Pelicans didn't take a timeout, and I think almost every timeout up until the fourth quarter, I think, was just kind of one of those mandatory timeouts under a certain minute position in the quarter. So that was, yeah, that was very, you know, odd for him to finally have to call one. And the crowd was great. The crowd was great Saturday, too. They did their part. It's just a shame that they didn't have more to cheer about it than, you know, you look at the Blazers working 82 games to try to get home court advantage. And,
right.
Gosh, they gave it back up in a big-time way, unfortunately, these first two games of the series.
How do you feel like the young guys are handling this playoff stage? Like Zach Collins, for instance, as a rookie? Because there have been some young guys added to this roster.
Yeah, I thought he was very, very good tonight. And I think he's come on the second half of the season, and I think there's a very good chance that he could be a candidate to possibly be a starter at power forward for the team next year. But I think they had high hopes. I mean, they moved up in the draft to take him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a lot of college experience, but I think they saw something in him that said that he could be a quality NBA player. And I think the more playing time he's gotten, the better, you know, the better he is. And he wasn't satisfied with his performance tonight, even though he had some good numbers, but he thought late in the game he had some mistakes. And he had a couple of open looks for threes that didn't fall, but he doesn't seem awed by the moment. So I think he's just a young guy that you have to figure, you know, will only get better. So that's been one of the bright spots of this Blazer season. And they really haven't gotten much of a chance to look at Caleb Swanigan, who was picked even, you know, in a position to get playing time earlier in the season. And so I think they still have some high hopes for him in the future as well. But yeah, if the Blazers go from 49 wins to the number three seed and winning a division championship and having home court advantage to getting ousted in the first round of the playoffs, that'll leave a lot of questions as to how they treat the offseason, because I think they probably were assuming they were going to at least get to the second round of the playoffs. And then, you know, if you're playing Golden State in the second round and you lose, then there's no harm in that. But if they go out, and they go out quickly potentially in this series, I'll be curious to see if that means maybe some changes that they didn't anticipate making in the offseason.
Well, in addition to the questions that it would, as you say, that it would necessarily uncover, how much would that sting?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's something that I don't think anybody could have seen coming. And so, you know, they've been such a good home team all season long. But I did say before the series started that New Orleans had 24 road wins during the regular year, the fifth best road record in the league. In fact, as many road wins as they had home wins during the regular season. So I think they weren't necessarily daunted by the challenge of coming in. And they've had the benefit of having second-half leads and then, you know, hanging on to those leads, even though the Blazers made fourth-quarter rallies both in Game 1 and Game 2. But I think the Blazers haven't been able to do what they normally like to do at home, which is have a lead and have the road team try to catch up. It's been the opposite. So it's been a formula that they haven't had to deal with most of the season. So the Blazers were a decent road team too, but they're going to have to rely on that in a big-time way and see if they can find a way. Maybe the Pelicans won't function so well in an unexpected bit of prosperity that they couldn't have seen coming before the series started. But right now they certainly are doing everything well, and I'm sure gaining in confidence through what they've done these first two games.
So the question for the team last year at this point was about too much reliance on the backcourt, right? They were the highest scoring backcourt in the NBA, but just not enough support around them. And certainly the team did a lot to address that. You know, you talk about some of the young guys that we just talked about. But do you think that would come into question again if they don't end up coming back to win this series? Like, hey, maybe it's still not enough around this backcourt.
Yeah, Neil O'Shea, as president of basketball operations, has been very defensive about the fact that he believes that they can exist with C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard as their starting guards, even though neither of them is a big guard per se. But he thinks that you know, the teams would kill to have two quality scoring guards like these guys and guys that get along well and they complement each other well on the court normally. And it's just unusual to see them struggle a little bit. But, again, you know, when you get to a series, it's easy to isolate on strengths and weaknesses of your opponent. And clearly the Pelicans are daring the ancillary players on the Blazers to beat them in this series. But I think, you know, at the end of last season, I think they felt Jusuf Nurkić was definitely going to be their third guy in their big three that most teams seem to need to have to be successful winning clubs. And he's had his moments this season. And I think he was looking forward to this playoff series because he was healthy as opposed to last year when he played only a few minutes of one of the games against the Warriors. And he's going to be a restricted free agent in the offseason. So we'll be curious to see what kind of offers he gets. I think the Blazers will probably let the market dictate what he's worth, but I think they probably have to try to re-sign him. So I think, you know, again, if you get ousted in the playoffs sooner than you anticipate, it might make everybody have to recoil a little bit and say, well, you know, maybe this personnel isn't all we thought it was, and so maybe there would be some definite different decisions that'll be made, and I guess that'll be up to Neil O'Shea and his scouting staff.
I'm really disappointed that they lost, not only because you want the series to go deep and because I like this team so much, but also because I was going to ask you to recreate the boom shakalaka, which is my favorite one of your calls, but I won't ask you after a loss because I feel like it would just be fake.
But, well, hopefully you have maybe a highlight laying around there somewhere of the past when I was a little happier, but I thought maybe with the rally they put together tonight, I thought they were going to finish the job, and unfortunately they just couldn't pull it off, so. The Pelicans deserve all the credit in the world for what they've done the first two games, and now it's up to the Blazers to see if they can return the favor. And I know Terry Stotts was saying, well, now we have to win two games in New Orleans to win the series. And while that's true, I think they just better worry about winning one so that they can make the series again. And obviously the best chance for that to happen would be to start right away and win the next game coming up tomorrow, or excuse me, on Thursday.
So before I let you go, you've seen the Western Conference obviously over and over. There are multiple MVP candidates. I don't know if you have a vote or not, but if you did, who would you pick?
Yeah, I don't have a vote. They took the vote away from all the team media folks.
What?
At least the you know, which I think there were too many situations where guys were voting for maybe their player and maybe weren't, you know, doing it objectively, and so I think that maybe was becoming too common. And I tried for the most part to be you know, be pretty honest and take it seriously, but maybe some of my cohorts weren't doing the same. I don't know, but they took it away from us a couple of years ago, so I don't have a vote anymore. But if I did, I would definitely give it to Harden. I think he's had it coming probably for a few years, and I think based on the great season the Rockets have had, he's certainly been a major contributor to that. So I would certainly give it to him, and I'd be surprised if he doesn't win. And then I think he has a very good chance of maybe being a unanimous choice.
All right. You can find Brian on Twitter at Blazer Wheels, but much more importantly is my recommendation to listen to him call a Portland Trail Blazers game because it is pure entertainment. I'd rather listen to you, Brian, than watch it on TV. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, you're the best. I appreciate it. You made me smile and laugh a little bit, which is easy to do after a Blazer loss. And,
yes.
So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk next time after a Blazer win, but I'm with you anytime you need me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.